Everybody, welcome back to another Rethink podcast, and it is a good day to be alive.
It's a great day to be alive.
Yep. What is this in front of us,
This Cole? Is the best flavor of Bundt Cakes ever created. Margo and Patty hooked us up again.
Nothing but Bundt Cakes.
And so we're just going to dive. I mean, John made it nice.
What's special about this?
So I love lemon raspberry. Like, that's just my go-to flavor with any type of, you know, sweet dessert.
Not available all year, though.
No, it's only available in summer, which is what we're going to celebrate today because...
Yeah, in a couple of days, it's the first official day.
Yeah.
Summer solstice.
So why not celebrate with a delicious Bundt Cake from your local Longmont?
You go
Bundt
first.
Cake store. I will.
You brought this to the table. Again, it is National Patty and Margo Day.
Always.
They got 2 days this year.
Yeah.
So the icing itself
is worth everything.
Every calorie.
Speaking of, I weighed myself at the gym.
Uh-huh.
I've never weighed as much as I weigh right now. I'm blaming quarantine. Oh my gosh, that's good.
I would blame 12 packs of Oreos.
Yeah.
I know. We already confessed that publicly.
Publicly, yeah. I would blame those. And like last night, it was like 10 o'clock. Taylor had a headache last night, so she fell asleep. So I'm like, hey, I'll watch TV. I was playing Mario Kart on my phone. And I was like, oh, I'm kind of hungry. We got the Costco.
This is delicious.
Oh, it's incredible. The Costco peanut butter M&Ms. I'm just shoveling them in my face. It's 10 p.m. I was like, this is why I look the way I do.
Yeah. Did you say the weight?
245.
And what did I say?
You said 200 of that is in my arms.
In your arms, because that shirt is screaming right now.
It's incredible.
I can hear it going, about to let go.
Yeah.
Cannot hold
it. It's going to just rip, which I'm cool with. I've never washed it before, so it's not shrunk.
It's new.
Yeah. It's just got Vespas on it, because I'm going to get a mint green Vespa. We can talk about that another day, too.
Yeah.
So, it's so good.
Yesterday was leg day for me.
Yeah. I saw you at the gym.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, 2 days ago was leg day for me.
Yeah.
The day after leg day is always a hard day.
Oh.
So I decided, I took a whole crew up to the mountains and we walked uphill.
It was wise.
That wasn't wise.
No.
Yeah.
No, I'd be crying.
I had to stop several times to get my breath.
Yeah.
Because my
That's cardio thighs. At a higher altitude.
Yeah.
Miserable.
Yeah. But anyway.
Part of that
it's
day.
It's summer.
Brought we're us out to time. Where we're at. Yeah. We're done. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we originally, Ben, you threw out, Ben Corley threw out a thing on our YouTube page that we were going to talk about today. We'll get to it.
Yep.
But in talking about that, we got to a different topic that I want to touch on. It might take the whole podcast. It might not.
This is what happens when you have two ADHD people on a podcast going, I don't know what we're talking about.
We literally sat down and we were like, oh, we'll do Ben's comment. We started talking about it. And then you started talking about something else. I was like, let's go with that.
Well, I like Ben.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Well, the reason is because
he made a comment.
That looking down the table at that camera, my arms looked as big as my head.
And then you wore long sleeves today.
I didn't think. I'm trying to be modest.
It's good for you.
Humble.
Yeah.
And not scary.
You're doing great.
Yeah. Yeah.
But as we were talking about Ben's thing, which we'll get to next podcast, some podcast coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
You threw out something that Tony brought up yesterday when you guys were filming.
Yeah.
My friend Tony, that quote.
Yeah. My friend Tony Castillo is like, so in the next series, we took him up the mountains because we did this awesome video of him doing this reading on top of a mountain. It's just going to be epic.
Yeah.
And, but anyway, so, you know, through the whole, you know, race thing that's been kicked around, stuff like that, one of the things, Tony actually had reached out to me right after Ben's talk and said that was really helpful to him because it brought up some things. He's Latino, and he said it made me look at some things in my own life as a Latino and some prejudices that I've been holding from stuff from my childhood. And so, you know, one of the first steps that we talked about in that whole race thing, this isn't going to be about race today, but... who knows what it's going to be about.
Yeah, we don't know.
But the first step was just addressing, going, hey, there's tension out there, things like that. And then what, steps 2, 3, and 4? And when Tony reached out to me and said, hey, that was really helpful to me, I reached back out to him and went, maybe step 2 is that you and I just get to know each other better as friends.
Yeah.
And I just we sat on the porch yesterday, and I just listened to his stories. And so he came from a past that I wasn't really walking with Christ. Now, if he wants to tell his story, he can. But he had all these messages going in his head that, you know, someone like me can't ever be used by God and things like that. And then he gave this great quote. And I think I've heard it before. And sometimes you have these Christian sayings out there, bumper sticker sayings, and you're like, blah, blah. You know, it's like, that will never be on my bumper.
Yeah.
But when he said it because it was really like, crossroads, which direction am I going to go with my life moment? And what he said was, God doesn't call the qualified, God qualifies the called.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not like God looks around and goes, who's the most qualified person in the world, and I'll call them.
Yep.
It is, he calls them, and just by him saying, I want you, that's the qualification. In spite of that list of things that you would throw back at God, but what about this, and what about this, and what about this, and what about this, that would be a disqualification, which is what I'm going to teach on this weekend, you know? But it's like, I think a lot of people, like Tony, like me, like different points in our life, are going, someone like me can't be used by God because I did this, I did this, I did this. And he goes, God isn't called qualified. He qualifies the called.
Yeah, which is sick. And it's been something that's been, part of that has been something that's been in my brain for the past couple of days. I'm reading a book.
Book with words and pictures? Or
Mostly pictures, yeah. Actually, it's a book that I have to read with the dictionary next to me because the words are way too...
Are you reading it or are you listening to it?
So I've read it and now I'm listening to it because I'm going to walk my team through it in a couple of weeks. And so I want to be like as vocabulary built up as I could be because there's just words in there. I think the words are fake.
You really think they're real words?
No, he just wants to sound smart. And so he makes them... like 12 letters long.
It's Jordan Peterson.
Yeah, he's smart, but 12 letters long words? Come on, that's not a real thing. Anyway.
He is Canadian.
Yeah, they make up a lot of things.
Eh?
Eh? but in it, one of his rules is pursue what is meaningful, not what's expedient. So pursue like what is meaningful and purposeful in your life, not what is expedient right in front of you, easy to get to.
Urgent right now.
Urgent right now, yeah. And one of his things is like suffer now, for the payoff,
right,
which it's interesting. He doesn't believe in Jesus, but everything that he teaches on is built off this biblical foundation.
You know, you say he doesn't believe in Jesus, but he also says, "I'm living my life as if there
as
is
if
a God."
As if he does, I'm trying to get around it. Yeah. I just want to meet with him. I think I can get him there. Anyway, with that being said, so this idea of being called, there's people that look at what we do and it's like, oh, they're called to do that, blah blah blah. I just do blank, and it's like, no, that's actually what you were entrusted with. Blank is not. So like somebody that's listening is like, oh, I just work at a La Quinta Inn. I don't have a meaningful job. I don't have this, blah, blah, blah.
Are there still La Quinta Inns?
I just drove past one, which is why it was in my head. so for
I'm going to chew.
Yeah, please do. I'll keep talking. For the people listening right now, what I want to like talk through is this idea of what it means to be called and what it means to do what is like purposeful and important. I went to a college where their motto was pursue your passion. I thought that was always dumb because your passion isn't actually what you should be chasing after.
Your passion might be sin.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love sin. Yeah.
But pursuing what is meaningful and chasing after what's meaningful and good, I want to talk through that and look through that and look what that actually means. You've taught for years, like you've been entrusted with a portion of the kingdom. In that, there's a lot of meaningful things that you can pursue, no matter what your job is, no matter what your life looks like. You know, like you've been entrusted with something.
Yeah.
So my first question off of that is like, for the person listening, how do we identify what's meaningful? Because what's meaningful for us is different than what's meaningful for that. But like in your life, looking at it, we talked about this a little bit beforehand, but like you didn't know Flatirons was a thing 20 years ago, 30 years ago, but you were pursuing something that was meaningful that led you to this place.
Mm-hmm.
So walk me through your thought process, the steps you were taking to continue to pursue meaningful things to build up, the foundation that you stand on, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So I think there's different levels. I think there's 11 questions that go in that stream just came out of your mouth. I think there's levels of calling that get more and more specific. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think there's a level of calling on all people at a certain level. Like all people should pursue getting to know God. All people should pursue their identity in Christ. Okay. Because if that's not the foundation, I don't know what you're standing on. Okay, then you're just looking at, again, whatever's in front of you right now, that's going to take up all my attention. But I don't know who God is and I don't know who I am, all right? So, you know, we talk a lot about masculinity here, okay? And it's like if you don't know what a biblical, spiritual, masculine soul was created to be and do, then again, you're just making it up and whatever's the tyranny or the urgent runs your life. So getting to know who God is and then knowing who you are to God and your identity in Christ. That's the calling for all of us, okay? And if that's not in place and you haven't figured that out, then whatever you do feel like you're going to run after, it's going to fall apart because you're going to run into a roadblock and is God going to be there for you or not? And who am I to do that? I'm not qualified to do that. But if you know who you are to God and who God is, you know, that's the other thing that Tony said on the porch was like, God's only going to tell you to go do something if he's also going to provide the resources to do it. Otherwise, he's just mean. Mm-hmm. Cole, I want you to go pursue that. I have no idea how you're going to pay for that.
Do it on your own.
Yeah. Right? Or yeah. or how you're going to, you know, figure that. Like, so he's not going to send you out to do something. If he is going to send you out to do something, he's also going to provide the resources, which he usually doesn't show you or tell you how that's going to happen ahead of time. Mm-hmm. You know, so like, you know, you brought back the flat irons thing. And I was just talking to a young man on staff, and he's trying to figure out what's his future, you know? He's on staff right now at Flatirons, but is that what he's supposed to do forever? And he's, you know, he's taking college courses right now and trying to figure that out. And there's this pressure on ourselves sometimes to go, I got to figure out my calling, what I'm supposed to do with my life. And that raises its head at different points of your life, you know? High school, going into college, what am I supposed to do with my life? College, getting a job, right? Marriage, things like that, career, ministry, any of those things. And you're trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do with my life. So you're supposed to get to know God and get to know yourself, and then you just apply that to what's in front of you, all right? So I didn't know there was a flat iron. So I was at a church in Louisville called Southeast Christian Church. I'd been a youth pastor there for like 13 years, and I thought pretty much I had everything figured out, right? And then what I thought was going to happen, like the next career move there, it became really obvious that is not going to happen here. And so I left that church, and I went to a church 75 miles away in South, called Southland in Lexington, right? And I thought, oh, this is it, okay? And I'll become the lead pastor here or whatever that is. And that's not why I was there. As a matter of fact, it became really, really apparent that I'm not going to be the lead pastor there. Yeah. And then I was confused going, God, I thought this was, you were calling me to do this. I think the reason I was at Southland between Southeast and Flatirons, two reasons. One was to detox some of the corporate church that I now consider norm and was addicted to, detox that out of me, right? Because I always had a heart for lost and broken kids, but I didn't really understand lost and broken adults. And so I had to detox some of that. I think the other reason I was there was to meet Scott, because Scott was the youth pastor there. And then when I met him, then I brought him out here with me, and the rest is pretty good history, you know? But I remember being at Southland, and I was confused, going, what am I supposed to do? And I sat down with Brad McMahon, who grew up in my youth group in Louisville, and we flew to New York City about planning a church there. And we were there between Thanksgiving and Christmas, which is the best time to be in New York City, yeah. Because it's like, it's Christmas on steroids, right? And we walked around Manhattan for 3 days, kind of hoping, God, this would be so cool to plant a church here. And we got on the airplane, came home, and went, this isn't it. As much as we'd like to be, it wouldn't it. And now I'm really, really confused, all right? And I got offered a job at Willow Creek up in Chicago, which was a church that changed my life. And my wife hates corporate church, right? But she saw that I was so miserable that she was like, well, okay, well, move to Chicago. You just can't come home every day like this. And then I realized I just had to, you know, hey, I'm not going to do this. I just moved Jordan from all of his friends and all of his school and everything. And Allie was off at college. So, but it's like, do I uproot my family again? Because I'm trying to figure things out. And what if that's not it? So I backed off and basically said, okay, I just need to learn leadership. I just need to develop as a teacher. And so I moved into a position where I oversaw all the ministries there and all the worship there, right? And then I taught 50% of the time. And God used those 3 years. I wouldn't call it a wilderness, but it was like, I didn't know where this was going to go. I was just trying to be faithful with what was in front of me right now. And that's not the tyranny of the urgent. It's a mindset going, I have to stop figuring out what life looks like 5 years from now, 10 years from now. I knew kind of what I wanted to do, but I wasn't ready to do it.
Yeah. I saw some meme the other day that was like, people in 2015 at the job interview that got asked, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Got it wrong. Everybody.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. We were having that's another rabbit trail, but we were having a conversation today about that. We're not ever going to go back to normal in terms of church world or business world or restaurant world or sports world. That is over. Something different is going to happen. Yep. And if we're trying to press this model onto that, we're going to fail. Yep. And I think a lot of churches are going to do that, and they're going to be irrelevant because they're not paying attention.
Yeah.
Or 5 years from now, they're going to go, ah, we should have paid attention, but now there's nobody there, right? So, but going back to calling, it always comes back to, I want to know who God is, and then I need to know who I am. And as you do that, what's in front of you, then God will, and this is going to sound so condescending and spiritual, but so one, God is smart. God knows the future, and God knows what's best for you and what's good for you, okay? But I kept telling God, do your job better, because I think this is what you should do, and this is what I want to do. And I kept getting slammed doors. And so either I'm just going to be frustrated all the time because God's not taking my advice, or I need to back off and stop running from this. And I think it was Mike Bro, who was the pastor at Southland when I first went there, and he's also, we've had a connection forever. He said, Jim, make sure you're not running from something. Make sure you're running to something. And I was just trying to run from stuff and just like throwing darts going, is that it, God? Is that it, God? Right? And so
it's a lot easier to stay motivated running from something, though, right?
Oh, I've got to get out of here.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, how many people can say, I got to get out of this marriage or I got to get out of this job, and then they actually jumped into a deeper pit?
Right.
And then they look back going, it was... It wasn't that bad,
yeah.
You know? So I think I sat on my back patio in Lexington and went, hey God, I'm not going to go try to find anything anymore. If you want to bring me something, you can. And almost a year later, I got this, phone call from Mike Bro, who was up at Willow Creek. And he said, hey, I didn't know these existed. There's a headhunter who finds pastors. I guess all industries have headhunters, right? And he's looking for a pastor for this church out in Colorado called Flatirons, which, what is a Flatiron?
Yeah.
When you grew up in the Midwest.
Yeah, you don't know.
Maybe a steak.
Yeah.
But anyway. Anyway. Yeah. And he says, can I give them your name? And I'm like, sure. And then a guy named Keith Swingle said, hey, I'm an elder at Flatirons, and I'm coming out for a get-together. Could I meet with you? And the rest is history, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't go looking for Flatirons. I said, okay, God, most important thing right now is you and I being okay and me taking care of my family and me learning things that I don't know, and I don't know what you're going to bring to me. Mm-hmm. And he brought to, I could not have manufactured or scripted a plan that got me to Flatirons. Mm-hmm. I had to kind of back off and go, I'm going to pay attention to what's in front of me, do my best with what's in front of me, and then God brought me this. Mm-hmm. And I know this, if I would have left Louisville and come right to Flatirons, I would have blown this place apart because I knew everything.
Sure.
And I would have, yeah, I had to go get humbled, and I had to go get, I had to learn a lot of things. You know, here's the other thing. When you sit second chair, like I'm the youth pastor, or then I'm the teaching pastor, I'm the executive pastor, but I'm not the lead pastor. And so when you sit second chair, it's so easy to look at the first chair, right? And go, you should have done that. Shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
I remember the day that I was hired as the lead pastor at Flatirons. I felt like all this weight just got dumped on my shoulders, and it felt so heavy. And I immediately wanted to go back to every other leader in my life and apologize.
Yeah.
For second guessing them and because I didn't understand, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you look at everybody's parents until you have a baby,
uh-huh.
And you're like, never mind.
Yeah.
I was a youth pastor, right? And I always sided with the kids until my kids got into middle school and high school, and I wanted to write letters of apology going, I didn't know what the hell I was talking about. Just lock them up.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
Because, you know what I mean?
So two things, because I've seen you take the same headspace that you just described from 20 years ago and use it this past week. So for the person listening right now who goes, I've got everything figured out.
I've a lot of icing.
How good was it, though?
So
good. Oh, man. I've got everything figured out. I'm going to just go run this route. And they deep down know that it's not working and it's not the right way, and have to make a mind shift to a humble
Diet Coke. Evens it out.
Evens it out every time. How did you, and again, getting humbled and choosing to humble yourself to start learning is mm-hmm. a different thing. So for the person that hasn't gotten humbled yet, that hasn't been like crushed and toppled over and realized, oh, I was doing everything wrong, but is listening and going, I need to make a mind shift towards being humble.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like?
Well, either way, you're going to get humbled.
Right.
You know, it's like one of the most awesome things and scariest things in the Bible is that one day every knee will bow, right?
Yeah.
It's so much easier to voluntary bow, mm-hmm. and worship God as opposed to drop to your knees going, oh, I was wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
You really are God, aren't you? I was way off.
Yeah.
You know? So, so God only disciplines those he loves, right? And it actually says the person who doesn't discipline their child hates their son, right? And so the only reason God would, and a lot of times we read discipline as anger or punishment.
And it's not a correction.
Right. It's like, but correction never feels good. You know, I'm supposed to go to the dentist. It's a good thing. Yeah. It's going to hurt like crap because I'm taking a lot of Advil right now. I try to delay it. But
you're eating a lot of frosting.
Hey, pot kettle?
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
I mean a lot of cake too.
And Oreos. you have to change that mindset. Like when I went into sabbatical, not to bring that up again, but it's like all it felt like was punishment at first. And it's like, after that kind of subsided, and then I went, okay. And I even said this, I think, in one of the videos I sent out to the church was, I'm trying to own my stuff and then not go into, yeah, but they. Just stop, own my stuff. I was forced to look at it. Hmm. And sometimes there's stuff that we're so oblivious to, we're not going to pay attention until we're forced to look at it, okay? The whole race stuff that we've been looking at, right? It's not been in my... in my radar at all because I don't interact with a lot of people of color. I live in Erie, you know.
Yeah.
Lafayette is 0.8% black. Our state is 5% black. All right, we're 37% Hispanic.
Yep.
We might want to look at that someday.
Yep.
You know, but it's like unless something's on fire, I don't look at it. All right, so I think sometimes God lets things blaze up.
Yeah,
because otherwise I'm not going to pay attention to it. You know, and then. And then sometimes you go like, I'm so glad that happened. It's like the person that goes in for a checkup because they think they have a cold and finds out they have a tumor.
Yeah.
And that tumor would have killed them unless they had gone to the doctor. Now, do you hate the doctor? Because he's like, right? It's like, that needs to come out. That needs to change. But I wasn't going to pay attention to it till too late. So sometimes we have to get humbled.
Mm-hmm.
But the other kind of, the other side of that metaphor would be, hey, have a checkup every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, have people in your life going, hey, what do you see in me? Remember when we went to Crucible?
Yeah.
We had to have people write things they saw in us that were
good
and things we needed to pay attention and concerns for. Like four people wrote the same thing about me.
What was it?
None of your business.
Yeah.
I don't let anybody get close to me.
Yeah.
And if anybody makes a mistake, I'm done with them.
Yeah.
Okay. And I look at that and go, yeah. If you get close to me, then you're going to see me for who I really am, and then I'm just going to disappoint you so you don't get to see the real me.
Yeah.
And if you make a mistake, I'm done with you because I assume that if I make a mistake, you're done with me too.
Yeah.
So I just beat you to the punch.
Yeah.
All right? And I did a lot of work on that.
Yeah.
But the truth is like that a really healthy thing is to say, I mean, David in the Bible has said a lot, search me, oh God, see if there's something going on in here, all right? Because I am clueless sometimes, right? The people who know us well are probably the people we're married to,
mm-hmm.
or our kids, or our parents. And I mean, it's like nobody wants to. There comes a point where your parents are stupid and they don't know anything until
you're there.
And then you look back going, they were actually.
Yeah.
Now, that's not a blanket statement,
right.
You know? So I think that if you're out there going, I know there's some stuff going on in my life, then humble yourself and ask for honesty into it. And it won't feel good. And your first response was, whoa, that's okay. Just own what you can. But like I get emails and stuff and I'm not talking about the Ben stuff at all, but all through my history is like people have written in and said, hey, when you said this, I heard this, blah, 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 blah. And they're not right, but that's what they heard. And I have to look at that and go, okay, I need to communicate that better.
Yeah.
So there's some truth in that because they're not stupid people. I just didn't say it in a way that they heard what I meant. Okay. Now that's not all the onus on me. Some of them are just like, right. No matter what you said, I was going to be mad.
Right.
But a humbling thing is not to get defensive about the email. Go, what is in that email that I can actually become a better communicator?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
So that's humbling. All right. So to say, hey, Cole, gloves off, be gentle. All right. Be kind. But where's an area of growth you need to see in my life? All right. And you know what? And you're really good at this, okay? Is I'll listen to that from you
mm-hmm.
when you balance it with like an email you sent me Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
You sent me an email going, hey, the way you engaged in that meeting, that was good. That was great leadership. Okay, you've now earned the right to. So it's not just like, hey, I'm going to ask 100 people what they don't like about me, but people that you trust will be honest because they want your own good.
Yeah.
So humble yourself. And the other thing is that when something hard happens in your life that kind of knocks you to your knees, again, I believe God is sovereign. Okay? Yeah. So if this is me and this is God, all right? And Job would be the greatest example of this. Every once in a while, God will spread his fingers and let really what you think are mean, sinful, hateful things happen to you, like Job.
Yeah.
Right? Whatever that is. And what God is saying is, well, our faith grows by being tested. If he puts us in a little Jesus bubble, we won't grow. And so going to the gym, the only way to get stronger is put more weight on the bar, tear down the muscle so it has to regrow better. It's the same thing with growing in any important part of your life. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So with all that said, from the start of, like, all of us are called to something. As of right now, you are called to lead Flatirons Church.
Mm-hmm.
And then taking the thought in of don't do what's, you know, easy and right, but what's meaningful. Right now, what are you looking at as this is the most meaningful thing that you personally need to chase after? You have a long line of us that are following you with that. So when you're looking at everything going on across the world, in Lafayette, across Colorado, all that type of stuff, you're looking at here's the one thing that I need to be chasing after harder that I haven't been. So for you right now, what's the most meaningful thing that you're resetting your eyes on and going, here's where we're going?
This is going to be a different answer than what you think.
Great.
Is I'm no longer going to choose the church over my family. I'm going to make sure that the choices I make about Flatirons are positive for my family too, or I'm not the right leader for this. You know, so you remember back at Christmas, we had the staff Christmas party.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Robin, and that was kind of like my first back with the whole staff, right?
Yeah.
And we got there and Robin had a migraine and we were there maybe 15 minutes and Robin goes, I can't eat and I'm going to vomit in the middle of the Christmas party. And can you get me out of here? And I was supposed to give a speech, right? And so I went over to Paul, my executive pastor, and went, hey, Paul, Robin's sick. I got to get her out of here now. Can you address the staff? He went, yeah, no problem, all right? And I left, and I got criticized for it, okay? And if I could do it over, I would have said, can we move the talk up to right now? Can we just call a timeout and let me do the talk right now? Because I've got to get out of here.
I got 2 minutes. Let's go.
Yeah, you got 2 minutes. I want to address and go, hey, Merry Christmas, everybody. I love you. I'm glad I'm back. Have a great time. I love you. My wife is sick. And that's what I should have done. Okay. So when I started getting like, hey, that cost you some points, I looked across the table at the person and said, for the last 30 years, I have chosen the church wrongfully over my family. Yeah. If one time I wrongfully chose my family over the church, I can live with it. And some people are going to agree with that. And some people don't. I don't care. You talk about calling.
Yeah.
I'm called to be Robin Bergen's husband before I'm called to be Flatiron's lead pastor. Yeah. And I'll choose her, right? That'd be the first thing. The second thing I'm trying to figure out is how to, I don't plan on leaving anytime soon, all right? But a day is coming. And I think when I came back, I'm going to, my most important thing here is to teach and, God's word that for lost and broken people, especially, right? My second thing as a pastor of this place is to empower a generation of leadership to come up and not micromanage them and let them take risk. It was a risk to let Ben do that talk 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I sat out there and went, I would have said it different.
Yeah.
I probably would have been stronger. And I think I said this last time because I know how certain people are going to hear it and he hasn't had that experience yet, but it was a risk worth taking.
It was the right call.
And it was a risk worth taking that if he did it imperfectly, but I think he did great, right? Mm-hmm. I knew there'd be some criticism. Okay. It's worth it because what I'm trying to do is invest in a future generation of leaders, right? I'm not answering all those emails, hundreds of them, right? I have a group of people around me that really articulate and they'll answer better than me because my old muscle memory is still a fight, you know? And that's okay. So, and then probably the thing that I'm looking at too is I just came out of a meeting a couple hours ago where we're looking at how fast the world's changing, you know? And we just look at all the crises that have been like over the last, you know, we have what's going on now, and then before that we had COVID, and then before that we had hashtag Me Too, mm-hmm. right? And then before that we had this, and before that we had all these things, right? Yeah. It's going to continue to do that, right? And I actually said, I've had thoughts going, why didn't this happen like 5-6 years from now when I'm just living in the woods,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
But I don't want that. I don't want to look back and go, I want to leave this to somebody else. When I leave here, I want this church to be poised to move into the next 20 years, you know?
Yeah.
I want to figure out how to reach 1 million homes a week, to have influence, to have Christ have influence in 1 million homes a week. You know what it doesn't mean? We need to build buildings. There's enough seats in it to have 1 million butts in seats. That's not the future. It was the past.
Yep.
It's not the future. I don't know what it is, but I know that when I hang up my, when they move me out of this office or whatever that is, I would love not to have accomplished it, but to put in place a system where it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen by me, but it's going to happen by those that I have empowered and equipped to do that. Because I could keep all the power and all the influence for me and grow this thing to 50,000 people sitting in bus and seats and then leave.
And then what?
And then what? And then it cults personality or, you know, the charisma of or the my teaching, something like that, and then I'm gone. Yeah. Right? Jesus spent 3 years knowing a day is coming when we're all gonna go up on this mountain, and I'm gonna give the Great Commission, and then I'm gone for 2,000 years and counting. And he invested in that next leadership. And they didn't do it perfectly or great all the time.
Yeah.
But 2,000 years later, we're talking about it.
Yeah.
So that's my calling. My calling is take care of my family. My calling, get to know God, be secure in my identity in Christ, take care of Robin, primarily above everybody else, all right? And then invest in this church to prepare them for life without me.
That's great. Thanks.
I mean, that's you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's why, I mean, you are... You're growing as a leader and an influencer. You're a really good thinker, and you think about stuff that I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I need you to lead up to me too. And so if, I don't know if that's humble or just smart. I don't know if I'm humble or wise. My wisdom would be this. I don't know everything.
Yeah, it's good wisdom.
The humble thing is to go, you know something I don't know. Can you teach me that? Hmm. And I think that makes you trust me more as a leader. Not
yeah.
less.
Yeah.
So.
That's great.
Did we get to it?
I think so.
Bunt cake?
Bunt cake. All right. Let's go.
All right. See you next week.
Bye.